You know, Carl, Dr. John Grombeck Tedesco, he's a PhD. He became interested in Cuban history when he studied in Spain during his junior year in college. He entered the PhD program at American Studies, of American Studies, in the University of Texas in Austin. And he's really an expert on what's going on with Cuba, has been in the past, but certainly what's going on today with the new relationship between the United States and Cuba. So, Dr. Tedesco, thank you so much for joining us on Smith Sabatino.
Good day to you both.
Well, we're delighted. How would you assess the relationship between the United States today and Cuba?
Well, it's certainly headed in a better direction, as the news reports tell us. There's now a concerted willingness on the part of the Obama administration to make Cuba part of Obama's foreign relations legacy, at least to get the ball rolling, which he's done. What remains to be seen, of course, is what obstacles will face his administration in actually trying to normalize relations between the countries. Putting embassies in place, exchanging diplomats is a key first step, but ultimately he'll need congressional approval. He or the next president will need congressional approval to go forward with normalization.
Yeah, let's hope so. Now, what do you think the reasons are that it took so long for the United States and Cuba to restore diplomatic ties?
That's a great question, and there's a lot of different answers to it. One reason is the domestic politics in the United States of the Cuban-American community. That, historically, in the last 50 years, has been a very strong lobbying group that has kept the United States from engaging in Cuba in a way that that the U.S. has done with other former foes. You know, we can look at China, Vietnam, even a more readiness to work with North Korea. A big part of that is historically the Cuban American constituency in the United States. That has been changing, though, especially in recent years. If you look at polls of Cuban Americans and their opinions towards normalization of ties as well as the embargo itself, quite recently, in the last couple of years, more Cuban Americans, at least in the Miami area, now favor diplomatic reconciliation and favor a repeal of the embargo. But that's something quite recent, especially when you look at Florida politics. That's been one of the key reasons, in my judgment, that has kept Cuba off the bargaining table. There was some movement during Jimmy Carter in the 1970s, and there was an opening. The relationship has sort of waxed and waned, even within the limitations that have been put in place since 1961. There was an opening of sorts under Carter, and that changed in the 1980s and again under the second Bush after 9/11. Restrictions got tighter. There was more limitations on travel for Cuban Americans. There was more restriction on you know what people could bring back to the United States from Cuba. So even within the kind of closed-off nature of the relationship in the last 50-plus years, there has been movement up and down for a variety of factors. But one of the main things preventing this has been the lobbying power of Cuban Americans in the United States.
Hi, Carl Sabatino here. How are you, sir? I have a question reference to hemispheric politics. There have been talk in Washington when President Obama first took office about enhancing and taking another look at our relationships with Central and South America, and of course Cuba is part of that Hispanic package, if you will. That's what they called it. Do you see this as part of that understanding that yes, Obama is looking at it as part of his legacy. We've got that, his foreign policy legacy. But do you see it as part of a broader package, not just Cuba?
I think that there's some merit to that idea. It's hard to know how much backdoor discussions involved Cuba between the Obama administration and other hemispheric allies. Nothing jumps out at me in terms of why the administration would now come to the table with Cuba in thinking about hemispheric politics. The region as a whole has been lobbying administration after administration in the United States to bring Cuba back into the OAS, the Organization of American States, and to bring Cuba back into the hemispheric fold. This is not something that's new. Perhaps it's hit a new point, however, and as I said, those discussions may have been going on behind closed doors. I'm not sure we've seen anything in the headlines to suggest that. But I see this mainly as part of what Obama's trying to do. I think it's also Cuban necessities have changed in the past several years as Raul Castro has taken over Cuba, and he has been facing economic difficulties of a degree that Cuba has not seen since the end of the Cold War, not to that extreme. They were much worse in the early 90s. But it's also now forced Cuba to possibly make some concessions. There has been an opening within Cuba on restrictions regarding internet, regarding cell phones, regarding private property ownership, as well as private businesses that are all taking shape really in the last few years. I think it's also... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just curious. I mean, finish your point, and I'll ask you something.
Well, all of that, I think, is also now trying to show signs to the United States that Cuba is beginning to make some of the adjustments necessary for the relations to become open again.
Yeah. Do you think that Raul Castro is less of a revolutionary than his brother Fidel?
I don't think so. I mean, he was right there from the beginning. I think he, like any national leader, has to deal with realities on the ground. And what he has been dealing with, and they didn't start under him by any means. These are economic formations that have, you know, been going on for several years. But what he's had to face in the last 6 years or so is growing discontent in Cuba in the economic realm, particularly among young people. You have to realize that much of Cuba is under 40, and a lot of those people don't have any ideological connections to the revolution. Mm-hmm. And when you're talking people in their 20s, I mean, that's their grandparents' generation. So there's a limit to what you're willing to do for ideas that you are only tenuously connected to. 20 and 30-somes want what other 20 and 30-somes want. They want connection to media. Well, they want a job. They want a concept of retirement, a concept of a stable future.
Basically, so, they want, you know, what everybody else wants, right?
They want what everyone else wants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the ruling party has been aging for some time. I mean, we've been talking about aging and sort of aging ideology for many years now. But who benefits from that is shrinking in Cuba.
But you know,
and so Castro has had to open up some things that weren't previously open in Cuba to people.
Yeah, I'm sure. Don't you think, too, that same modality works in the United States for the Cuban Americans whose fathers and grandfathers were totally opposed to anything to do establishing a relationship with Cuba, but now they don't have that same kind of anger and memory?
I think that's a part of it. I also think it's the more recent Cuban immigrants who have been coming to the United States, who lived under a system, a post Soviet system, post-1991 system, who remember some very difficult days and who have grown up in some very difficult days and say, look, you come to the United States, they say, we understand the politics of anti-Castroism better than anybody, but the humanitarian result continues to be devastating for Cuban people. So that, too, I think, and that is part of the different polls that are now coming out, showing the Cuban-American perspective much more mixed than it was prior to just a few years ago, even.
Well, let me thank you very much for sharing your expertise, Dr. John Gronbeck Tedesco. And I hope you come back again and talk about this as the relationship reestablishes itself between the United States and Cuba.
I look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Very interesting. That's interesting stuff. And even in his closing thoughts, it's a developing relationship.
Yes,
I believe that the hemispheric situation is turning towards better relations with Central and South America because we need to. It's important for us. Absolutely important.
Right. Isolationism doesn't work anymore.
No, it doesn't. Carl Sabatino with Roland Smith. This is Smith Sabatino America Weekend on the Envision Radio Network. Stay with us.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, going to shell out the big bucks and visit a theme park this summer. Would you like more thrill time in the park without the crowds?
Won't that be fun?
If you're going to shell out the big bucks, then you might as well get the most for your money. Here's the social science of it.
Please tell me how.
Trick number one. A well-known theme park founder believed, and rightly so, that people were turned off from the start when they saw lines waiting to get in the park. So here's a little unadvertised fact, generic to most parks.
Tell me and I'll kiss you.
If they say the park is going to open at 8, chances are they'll open between 7:15 and 7:30 in the morning.
Cool.
What's the cheap psychological trick? If you want the park all to yourself, show up early. Chances are the park will open early, and if not, hey, you're still ahead of the crowd. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Think Green. Harrison with you. Many New York restaurants are now celebrating their world-famous tap water by taking bottled water off of menus. The campaign joins forces with city government and prominent restaurateurs to illustrate the environmental problems with bottled water. New Yorkers are fortunate to have one of the best tasting and safest water supplies in the world, and drinking it proves to be a far more cost-effective choice. By taking bottled water off menus, installing new filtration systems, and educating customers about the benefits of tap water over bottled water, New York restaurants hope to compel Congress to rebuild and upgrade America's water infrastructure. After all, to spend fossil fuel trucking water around the world truly is absurd. From the Greeniverse.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.